Good to go.
All right, guys, welcome to the Campus Fellowship Podcast. This is a podcast where we're going to interview a student, Kevin from Grandview, about how he came to know Jesus. And my name's Jacob. I serve as the executive director of the Campus Fellowship Network, and we aim to equip local churches to implement and sustain dynamic college ministries whose students worship God and change the world. And so we also have Mel. She's running the mixer, and she might interject with questions here and there. She's the Grandview alum, so
yeah.
She has some authority over the sphere of knowledge related to Grandview. So
it might be very old knowledge. Yeah.
So we're just going to kick it off. But yeah, Kevin, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. First of all, thank you guys for having me. This is really cool. I've never done something like this before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my name is Kevin Dillon. I'm a junior at Grandview. This year, I'm studying criminal justice and political science. I serve on the Viking Council of the student government that we have here. This year, I'm going to be vice president.
Cool. So, yeah. Sweet. Now, let's just get to the real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Jesus stuff.
Yep.
We generally think about our testimony, think about like what was our life like before we knew Jesus, how do we come to know him, what came after. If you were to think about your life before you knew Jesus, what was that like? Feel free to go back as far as you want, like, you know, coming out of the womb,
yeah.
If that's part of this. what was it like before you knew Jesus?
For sure. I would say to get a good gauge in it, we have to go back. My parents were traditionally Catholic.
Yeah.
When I was real young, we used to go to church a little bit here and there. But a couple of health complications kind of threw my family off of the loop. My mom, when I was really young, got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh.
And then a few years later, I myself actually got diagnosed with a tumor. We're both fine, praise God.
Wow.
At the time, it really put a emotional and financial stress kind of particularly on my family at the time, you know, for me.
How old were you?
I was about 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
So for me, you know, I just got a cool scar on my back. You know, I don't really have any complaints, you know. But obviously for my father and mother, it was a stressful time, I can imagine. So they weren't exactly practicing. So when that stuff kind of happened, they kind of moved away from the church as a whole. And I would say from that point on, they haven't been particularly practicing. So I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say traditionally that I grew up Catholic. But my parents were married, and I was baptized as a baby, so
yeah.
Traditional stuff like that. But I would say that when I was young, I had trouble with conditional love, mainly from others, family, friends, everything else like that. I felt as though I was based on performance, so like how I did in academics or sports or how many friends I had. These are things I kind of often put value in. When I, growing up, I actually had a bit of a strain with my family. I didn't always get along with my father in particular. We didn't really see eye to eye on a lot of things. And that kind of took a strain and kind of forced me to separate from my family as a whole, which when you're living with them, it's not exactly easy. So I put even more value in outside things, like academics, like I said, a little bit more into like popularity, status, friends, girls, stuff like that, that would just kind of, what I thought would kind of fill that kind of hole that I kind of had from just kind of my family, but, you know, obviously that Jesus saved hole, you know. And as I kind of grew a little older, these definitely spiraled into more serious problems as I became a junior, senior, and under my freshman year of college. I would say these things kind of spiraled into, like, drinking, smoking, partying, and drugs. We're just off and apart. That was what was cool. That's what got you, you know, friends. That's what got you. So, you know, and when I put my value in those things, I'm going to do those things in order to keep that because that's what I was held on to so strongly because I didn't have anything else. And it wasn't actually until my sophomore year that I finally went out partying and I had a little bit more than I could chew, to be quite frank.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, when you're young, it's kind of like you wake up and you're fine, you know. I was not fine. I was not invincible, you know, and I kind of learned. I felt for the first time in a very long time that I felt convicted. I was like, this, you know, this can't be it. This can't be what I do. This can't be. You know, I felt as though I had more, you know. I felt as though I was called for more. And I did feel as though I could point to, okay, maybe it's my plan that's destroying me. Mm-hmm. For a very long time, I was like, oh, I'm gonna have this job and make this amount of money. I'm gonna marry this person. I'm gonna, you know, have this many kids. I'm gonna buy this car or this house or anything else like that. And it wasn't doing it. I was destroying myself on that path. I was, and it was all in all just not very good. So I had understood what it meant to give your life to Christ. I was something that I was deeply interested in, but to be quite frank, I didn't want to. I didn't want to give up the stuff that I had value in. This was at the time fun. I was like, this is kind of cool, but I'm going to do my own thing, you know, and that weekend in particular, I was like, you know, maybe this isn't what it is. And
let's dive into a little bit of that. Like, you were talking about how you were pursuing like conditional love for a lot of your life, and that kind of drove you even a separation in your family. Like, so were you still living at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was still living at home, but I would say emotionally disconnected.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, performance-based love, trying to find, I'm going to do this to earn someone else's love in my life. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I would say for sure, especially in sports. I don't play sports now, but I grew up playing sports, loved it, and I felt like I had to perform, you know, because that's what people like. They don't want to, you know, no one goes to see you bat 0-for-5, you know?
yeah.
They want to see someone hitting a home run, you know what I mean? That's what's cool. That's what gets you that. So I would say a lot of that.
So did that drive you to a lot of self-discipline? Like, would you, like, be stuck in the batting cages yourself solo, just trying to really hone in to perform really well?
Sure, yeah. Okay. I really pushed into a lot of self-discipline, which is good, and it does help in the long run, especially as, you know, even as a Christian walk, getting in the disciplines and stuff like that. But yeah, I would find myself putting a lot of value in being perfectionist, which early on in my walk was actually a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, learning that I can't do everything. You know, I can't. There's nothing I can do or will do that will get me any more of God's love or anything else like that. But at the time, I thought, yeah, the more I do, the more I'll get out and the more approval I'll get.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's very common for, especially even a lot of, like, men. I know I dealt with a lot of approval things before I really started following Christ, you know. And a lot of it was even thinking of, like, I had a distant relationship with my father when I was young as well. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is your case. I want to speak into your story. But I know that when a lot of young men are struggling with approval, it's like, there's always this desire for a father figure and their ultimate approval, you know, and finding that through Christ, you know, the father's approval, the big father, you know, has been huge in so many people's lives. But so I don't know if you see some threads there in your own life where there's some dots getting connected, but how did you find Christ?
Yeah. So for me, I always had learned about the knowledge of Christianity as a whole. I looked at it more as a religion and not so much maybe a relationship with a personal guy. I thought this was kind of cool, you know. A lot of people growing up, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm Christian, you know. So you look into it, you learn a little bit. I went to a couple, you know, youth groups here and there when I was in high school. It would obviously be for the wrong motivation. I'm going there for a girl or because my friends are going or this and other thing. And I wasn't particularly interested in that. But being around those spheres of influence in that kind of environment, I did learn to, I would say, appreciate what it did for people's lives. But it wasn't for me, you know. So going back to kind of like my testimony a little bit with this, during that weekend, I understood that. I understood that this would significantly impact my life. I was going to have to give up, you know, my friends, the, you know, partying, certain relationships, stuff like that. And, you know, and I had to weigh the cost, you know, and that's kind of what it was. And because I guess growing up, I had maybe a distasteful feeling for Christianity because you'd see a lot of these people, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then they'd act and not that way. So it's like, well, if you're not going to act what you believe, do you really believe it? You know, I'm not going to do what you do if you're not going to replicate that.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, no, you know. But at this time in particular, I didn't want to be like that. I knew that I was gonna give my life to Christ. Like, this is my trajectory. I'm gonna follow Him, and that's kind of what it's gonna be. So I was very blessed to have a very couple very fortunate conversations over the weekend, and kind of with some friends that I knew didn't do the things that I did, that didn't live the lifestyle that I did, and I was kind of like, why, you know? And a lot of them was Christ. I was like, okay,
yeah,
you know. So yeah, September 2nd of 2024, I gave my life to Christ. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So in those conversations, like, were there particular, like, did they walk through some verses, some scripture with you? How did Christ become worth it in your mind and your heart?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of my best friends growing up is one of the people that I talked to, and he didn't drink. He didn't go out. He didn't do anything else like that. And he shared a very personal example that I won't share on here. But
yeah, that's
but, you know, I told him, I was like, I think I want to give my life to Christ. You know, I think this is what's going to be worth it. Because at the time I was, you know, 4 years running on my plan, on everything. And this can't be, like I said, this can't be it, you know. So for me, that's what kind of made it worth it was, you know, this clearly isn't working. So I'm going to bank my, you know, my life on the promise of Christ. And I think that's probably the best investment I've ever made.
Yeah. That's really sweet. So, you're going into what year now?
My junior year.
Junior year.
Yep.
Okay. How have you noticed Christ changing your life since then? What are, you know, it seems like probably most of your life has been not a Christian, and now this very small sliver, growing sliver,
yep,
is this walk with Christ. What are some things you've already seen Him changing in you?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, I feel like I've been a Christian my whole life at this point. You know, it's like you really
you've been reborn.
Yeah, really. I mean, in reality, you know, like it's like you die to your former self. You know, that version of me was put up on a cross with Christ, and I mean, there's no amount of words or anything I can possibly say that would, you know, express how it's been, you know. I've made lifelong friendships here with amazing people from CF and mentors and everything else like that. And just to be able to go out, and especially with fall launch coming up, this will be my first, you know, fall launch with this whole thing, and going out and having a growing compassion for people that I don't know. That was a really big struggle for me. You know, if I didn't have any idea who you were, I wasn't going to care, you know?
What do you have to offer me?
Exactly. That was really what it was. How could you benefit me in my life? Where now it's like, you know, I have this that I really strongly believe in. This is the gospel. This is the good news. I want you to share in the salvation, the joy that I have in Christ, you know? And if that means me going to play golf when I'm awful at golf, you know, well, I'm going to go do that.
Tell me someone who's good at golf, and I won't believe you.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I mean, over the year, I've grown tremendously, you know, through God's grace, of course, and nothing of my own accord. And He's spoken through people, relationships that I haven't talked to with people in years. You know, they've been mended, you know. My family has been a lot better, you know, even though they're unbelievers. I've been able to, you know, again, through God's grace, witness to them, you know. And even tomorrow, they're coming to my baptism, so that'll be another opportunity for that to occur, and that'll be really sweet. So even South Carolina, I went on a spring break mission trip, and that was first for me. You know, that was my first time evangelizing, and, you know, I don't typically have a problem going up to random people, but, yeah, it was uncomfortable, you know. It was a little like, hey, you know, it's like, what, you know? But that taught me a lot. It's not really about the results, but it's about the process that Christ works, not just within me, but within all of us.
Yeah. Have you noticed anything as far as that perfectionism, gaining approval? How has, like, the gospel affected that area even?
I would say for me, kind of the theme for me, especially this summer, but again, over the course, would be a problem of disordered loves. So I would say when I find myself caring about the opinions of others, well, it's like I'm putting my value in that, you know, even stuff that's not inherently bad, like, you know, my Christian friends, or, you know, am I a leader? Am I, you know, Do I have the title of this? You know, how are people viewing me? Do they think I'm knowledgeable in the gospel? Do they think I'm maybe have a lot to learn? You know, is this what matters? You know, mm-hmm. And in reality, I think it's like I'm putting that even something that's not inherently bad, like family or friends or fellowship, can be, if put above God, is still idolatry.
Yeah.
So really focusing on my value is not found in anything but Christ. My identity is not found in my friends or high performing the basketball court or something as minuscule as that, but in Christ, you know, and that can be easier said than done. Of course, you know, it's easy for, you know, pride to slip in or even stuff that, you know, it's not inherently bad. Oh, I just like to hang out with, you know, these people, but you know, in reality, why am I going, you know? Mitchell, one of my, you know, mentors that kind of told me, he said, you can go to church for the same reason you go to the bar. So it's all about motivation. It's like really within looking in, why am I here? Is this for Christ, my glory? How does this benefit the gospel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people go to the bar to be noticed by the opposite gender, and people can go to church to be noticed by the opposite gender. The heart is deceitful. So
yeah,
you're very right.
Very.
I have one more question. You said you were baptized in the Catholic Church, you know, as a baby.
Yep.
You're getting baptized tomorrow.
Yep.
Why are you getting baptized?
Why am I getting baptized? Well,
weren't you already baptized?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely a common question, especially with my family. I've actually had a conversation with my dad recently about this, and it's kind of like, I think getting baptized as a baby and infant baptism as a whole is, you know, I was a baby. I had not a clue what was going on. I have no recollection of this. You know, my parents could show me a picture. It's all grand and great, but, you know, what does it mean? Like, what is baptism, like, symbolize? Is it something that you need for salvation? And, you know, well, we would say no, you know, but it is a public display of your faith in Christ. As we obviously went over, I wasn't a Christian the majority of my life, so how could that, you know, it's to be reborn again, right? As you said, as you mentioned that term, I would say, as a public display and an opportunity to witness to unbelievers through my testimony, is obviously the main reason. But even with the baptism, you struggle with the motivation. Am I nervous, you know, to get up there in front of all these people? You know, I know all these people are ecstatic that I'm doing this, but why am I nervous in case I stumble on my words or something like that? It's like, well, because maybe I care about too much about the opinions of my friends sitting in the front row or anything else like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really like, again, it goes back to motivation. Like, how does the gospel, how does Jesus dying on the cross affect what I'm doing now?
Yeah. No, that is really cool. And I think that there's probably even a lot of people that are listening to this, and they were caught on the, you were baptized, and then you are getting baptized, and all of a sudden have 10,000 questions.
Yep.
Like, and I think, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. It's like what we see in the scriptures is that people become Christians, and then they get baptized as a profession of their faith. It symbolizes, you know, when you go under the water, it's a symbol of being dead to sin. When you come out of the water, it's a symbol of being alive in Christ, resurrected to new life. And if that's what it symbolizes, it seems like only those people who have been saved should probably be baptized.
You would think so.
If that's what the symbol means.
Right.
So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for listening. And see you at Fall Conference.
Of course.
We'll see you guys at Fall Conference.